Milo's Pro Rewards members. Go big during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Buy more and save more with up to 20% off job site essentials like primed finger joint boards when you spend $3,000 or more. Plus, get up to 25% off PVC DWV pipes when you spend $250 or more. Shop Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 123. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Creative Inclinations. This is a one-on-one conversation-based podcast about art, music, culture, entertainment, and more with me, David Steele. Today, we have our next guest on the show, Rachel Waters.
Hi.
Welcome.
How are you? Thanks so much. I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming. So, Rachel, you're a photographer, a poet, and the chairperson of Red Dirt Poetry.
I am.
Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of why I was telling you a little bit before. When I saw that, I guess I've definitely followed Red Dirt Poetry for years. It's been around for a long time, right? And I saw that you're taking over, so I was like, you're the kind of person I want to talk to you on this show and to spread more a word, you know, about Red Dirt, because I'm sure people have heard of it. Maybe they, you know, want to hear a little bit more.
Absolutely.
So how long have you been involved with Red Dirt?
I went to my first open mic night in May of 2023, I think.
Okay, so yeah, a couple years.
Yeah, it feels like it's been longer than that. But I really don't know if it's 2022 or 2023 at this point. Anyways.
Well, that was always a weird time anyways for most people.
Absolutely. So weird.
You lost a lot of time during that.
Yeah.
Those years.
And I went in like not at a great time in my life, honestly, just dealing with personal stuff, heartache, blah, 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 blah. And a friend invited me after I had written a poem for my mom for Mother's Day and posted it on social media. And she was like, oh, you should come and see me. So I went and fell in love with it immediately.
Yeah.
And everyone was so welcoming. And I was just a member for probably 6 months before I was asked to be on the board. And then I joined as the director of membership. And then I was kind of given the open mic nights to run and handle.
Okay.
And then in January of this year, I took over as chairperson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. How big is the organization? I'm curious, just because, you know, how many people are kind of involved with running it, I guess.
Yeah. So our board right now has, hold on, I have to count on my fingers. 7 members, 9 unofficial members.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
or two other unofficial members.
9 total.
Yeah, Yoko, who was a past chairperson, still does a lot to help us out.
Okay.
And then her partner, Matt, handles a lot of our graphics and stuff
like
that.
Cool.
So, but the board currently is 7-ish people.
Yeah.
And then our community really fluctuates and depending on the event or what we're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I was curious because I hadn't really thought about how big it is. I think about stuff like that, and it's like a lot of stuff. I think those kinds of groups are run by maybe 2 or 3 people sometimes, so you don't really know, but that's a lot of a big group.
Yeah, we just have so much going on.
Yeah.
And we do several events per month.
Yeah, it's necessary.
Totally necessary.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What can you tell us about Red Dirt Poetry if nobody's ever heard of it? Like, specifically, like, what's the mission? Is there, like, a mission or a goal for it?
We grow poets.
Yeah.
That is our mission. We are an inclusive community, and we're community-focused, but we're also poetry-focused. However, we, like, specifically for open mic nights, we welcome kind of any type of performer in. But our main shtick is poetry, growing in that, learning how to write better, stuff like that. And hopefully people come and feel a sense of community as
well. Yeah, because you guys do like a lot of workshops and things.
Yes. Do you want our monthly calendar, David?
Yeah, well, I saw it. I think I'm pretty sure I was looking through there. That was something that I wanted to ask about, like, was the, you know, all the different types of events and things that you do?
Yes. So Every first Saturday of the month is our editing workshop.
Okay.
That meets at Second Story Books at 1 p.m., I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then every Wednesday, we have open mic nights at Literati Press beginning at 7. The third Tuesday, I think, of every month. Sorry, I need a calendar right for me, actually. Is our writing workshop. And that every month, we have a different workshop leader to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And the topics and things we're writing about or doing change every month. And then we have a reading get together.
Okay.
The last or the fourth Saturday of every month.
Yeah. So like pretty much every week there's like a different type of
thing,
right?
And then various workshops or showcases and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. That's awesome. How long have you been writing poetry yourself?
Okay, I was just thinking about this because I was wondering if it was going to be a question, and I'm excited it is.
Mm-hmm.
I remember writing my, I've been writing forever.
Yeah.
I went to English,
like,
was
like
my
probably high school or something, middle school.
My, like, first, I remember writing an official poem in fourth grade about the rainforest,
okay.
And it had, like, a rhyme scheme, and there was imagery, and English has always been my favorite subject.
Yeah.
And I went to school for it and yada, yada, yada. So I've always been writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then took a long break in my 20s.
Okay, yeah.
and then just felt the call again.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, picked it back up. And now it's near daily.
Yeah. So, like, was it, I guess, how long has it been since you've been back fully into it? Would you say, like, the past, like, 5-10 years or something like that?
Honestly, no.
it would be
since I joined Render today.
Oh, okay.
Again.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's whenever you fully,
was threw myself into it. And before that, it was like I'd write here and there.
Yeah.
With like things
maybe,
that I just needed to get out of
right.
me.
Right. Like I imagine it's very helpful with something like, you know, if a family member passes or, you know, dealing with grief or trauma or something
absolutely.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Lots of that.
Yeah.
And one thing, I mean, about Red Dirt is that we are sharing, like, our traumas and, you know, also the good stuff in our life, too, on a weekly basis, typically.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
awesome, yeah. It's very vulnerable when you
highly
get
vulnerable.
Up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And like we're all there for the same reason, like to share, to get stuff out, but everyone's has a different story, different walk of life, has been through different things, and it's really opened my eyes up in a lot of different ways beyond
just
improving my writing. Yeah.
Imagine like learning about so many people, other different people, you know, you learn so much about them.
Yeah.
Kind of opened your eyes to the world and
absolutely.
Different viewpoints and things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I take a lot from stand-up comedy. I don't practice it myself, but I watch a lot of it. I photograph it, video, all that stuff. I'm heavily involved in that community.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's fascinating because I think it's somewhat similar to poetry as far as you're expressing yourself, you're expressing your thoughts and ideas when you get on stage. And I just, every time I see a new performer or, you know, kind of get to know someone through watching them on stage, you learn so much about them and you feel like you know something about them. Because of obviously they're telling you about themselves.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of similar to that, I think. But
it
it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a ton of like poetry events or things like that. I mean, I've have seen readings, and obviously if you're involved in the open mics, you know, poets will sometimes come in with like a Factory Obscura open mic. There's a lot of poetry there.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I do, it's like, it is that powerful, like emotional, like you feel their emotions, you know,
it's
fascinating.
It is like, I love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
I love doing it. I love being involved with it. But after every open mic night, like you feel this sense of just usually having, sometimes we have really light nights, but a lot of the times it's, you just feel like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Like emotionally, I'm a little bit spent right now.
Right, yeah.
But it's such a blessing, if I can use that word. I don't really like using that word, but it's a wonderful thing.
Awesome. Let me just read through these.
Do what you need.
I guess you talked a little bit about Literati Press, and what was the other one? Second Story.
We have one at Floating Bookshop.
Yeah.
That's our reads,
yeah.
And then Literati Press is mm-hmm. where our writing workshop.
Yeah, I guess. How long have you been involved with those? I mean, I know Literati. I've been in there before. I know the floating bookshop. Was that?
That was at Sailor and the Dock, and they just moved. Right? Yeah, to 9th Street.
They're really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I was curious about those shops. I mean, they seem very supportive of that. Obviously.
Yeah, they've been great. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have. I have more of a relationship with Literati because I, mm-hmm. and then the other board members who go to, but they've all been so welcoming, mm-hmm. So generous to our communities. I think they enjoy having us there. Yeah. I hope they enjoy having
us there.
I think
it's, a lot of businesses like that. I mean, I know just from the comedy scene and stuff or whatever, it's like they kind of, you know, you want to have those kinds of events to bring people in, new people in mm-hmm. to the business. So
absolutely.
I imagine it's beneficial to them for that.
I would hope mm-hmm. so. Yeah. We have, I mean, a lot of our community is sober as well. And so having spaces where we can join.
Where it's not like a bar or something.
You don't feel obligated mm-hmm. to partake or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cause I'm very curious about just local businesses. I love like small business, you know, independent run businesses. So I'm always curious about that. That's why I bring it up.
Cause no, absolutely.
It's awesome because definitely you guys are definitely a big part of the community here. Like I said, that Red Dirt's been around, I don't know how long. Do you know how long it's been a thing? Just offhand?
At
least maybe 20 years.
Yeah, at least
more.
20 years. It started in the Paseo at Galileo's, I believe.
Okay.
And it used to be called... At one point, I forget the first name, actually, but the Home for Wayward Poets was one point its name, and then it morphed into Red Dirt in the 2010s, maybe?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been around for a hot minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. So, it's kind of like the covers kind of the poetry stuff. I don't know, is there anything else you wanted to say about it? I know. What's it been like being the chairperson so far? How's it been?
It's
fun.
It has been fun. I mean, I love it. Yeah. Like, I would not be doing this if I didn't care about this community so much and want to be involved with it. We have had, it's been a lot because it's a learning curve, of course. And we're probably down a few essential chair people.
Right, yeah.
So I'm wearing quite a few hats right now, but it is okay. We're smoothing that out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been wonderful. And I am really honored and grateful that I was trusted to do this job by Yoko, who had been the chairperson for 8+ years.
Okay, yeah.
And...
Yeah,
it's
very
feels
difficult to like take over something that
she was is the reason that it runs.
Right,
and
yeah.
I feel just lucky to be able to inherit that really and help keep it running and growing. And it feels like we are in like a growth spurt right now, which is very
That's
exciting
cool.
and cool.
Yeah.
We've been, people have just been hearing us more organically and through different variations of things. And, we're excited to see where we go. Yeah.
Cool. So, being the chairperson, what does that entail, I guess? What does that mean to be the chairperson of something?
Great question.
<curious. laughs>
'Cause it probably varies.
Yeah.
I mean, we are honestly less official than your typical board, I would say. So for me, I just kind of keep on top of everything, make sure everything's getting where it needs.
Kind of.
Managing without micromanaging,
oversee,
hopefully.
Yeah.
I run the open mic nights every week, make sure our social medias are posted on Instagram. We do board meetings every month. Just had one last night.
Okay, yeah.
And I run those. I'm kind of the go-to person for getting everything okay, checked off, whatever.
Yeah, kind of like the director of a movie, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, cool, yes.
Yeah, I mean, just like, I just know from that, from the film world, it's like the director just makes all the decisions. It's like, if there's a question, then they will answer it as far as whatever it needs to be.
That is accurate, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
Cool, yeah, it's great, because... we definitely need, you know, more people like that. I think I love that community because it is so big and so long going that, you know, I wish there was more groups like that around. I think there are, but not as established, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't really, I mean, yeah, I just lucked into this, you know, and like came at a good time and it was everyone before me who did all the work to make this happen.
Seemed like, but it seemed like you were the right person to take over, or, you know, they saw that in you. So that's, you know, you had the qualities that were necessary for the job.
Well, thank you. I like to think so as well. Yeah. I tell myself on days where I don't feel worthy of this job that, like, it's kind of the natural progression of things because I have been in leadership positions since, you know, damn junior high.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, what other kind of things have you been a part of, I guess? I'm just curious.
Do you, it's like a long list, David.
Oh, yeah. I mean, whatever you, we have plenty of time.
Okay. I did the most in high school to get out of the tiny town I was in.
Okay.
So I was like literally.
Yeah, so we can jump to that. Like, where did you grow up?
Okay.
Like, I always like kind of diving into a little bit more backstory.
Sure. Yeah. So I grew up, I was born in Dallas.
Okay.
And then moved to Houston when I was 2 and then when I was 4 moved to the tiny town of Cordell, Oklahoma,
okay,
which is in southwestern Oklahoma, about 20 minutes south of Clinton.
Okay, I have some family that lives there actually.
Oh, in Cordell,
They're actually in Arapahoe, which is right outside of Clinton, I think.
Yes, absolutely. So I was there from kindergarten through graduation, and, you know, it's a town with literally one stoplight.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's like
like, my graduating class was a big class, and we had 52 people graduate. More cows than people, you know, all the typicals. I don't know. I didn't know that I was in a bubble when I was in it, you know? And so the culture was just... what I was ingrained with, and it was normal to some degree, although I had issues with certain things too, but didn't know how to express it because I also knew that expressing that was probably frowned upon.
Yeah. You know what, you know, if you, like your parents or whoever would say if you did say something like that or something like, you know.
Not my parents.
Yeah,
like,
or,
it would
know,
be
the,
literally everyone
the
else.
The authorities in your life.
Yes, or
figures.
Even just the kids in my class.
Right,
like,
okay.
I knew that I was different and, like, not.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful to, like, have grown up there because I did have, like, a pretty good childhood.
Yeah.
But I'm not made for that type of environment or that small town life necessarily. I can appreciate it, but I need more. It was a great foundation to begin, but I also needed to evolve out of that. And once I moved to college, my whole world was shattered, basically. And just seeing different ways of life.
Yeah.
There were literally, like, maybe less than a handful of people of color in Cordell when I was living there. And I was just so confused about a lot of things.
Just because you've never experienced
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so moved off to college. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
yeah. Where'd you go to college?
I started at the University of Tulsa, majoring in English and art, and was on a Presbyterian Leaders and Scholars there. And then transferred to UCO, finished there, was in Presidential Leaders Group there.
Cool. Because I imagine it's like, is that like kind of a leadership, like they teach you how to be a leader?
There's a lot of that. Grooming? Yeah. I'm also a Leo. And so like, I feel like naturally, I don't really believe too heavily in all that stuff, but I've just always been this way. Anyways, I don't mean to be, I guess, but...
But, you know, I think that's good. I mean, I actually know a lot of Leos or have known in my life, too. Like, I'm a Pisces, so I'm very much an opposite of a Leo. But I think that's why I am gravitate towards that, because it is that powerful, like, kind of leader, you know, strong, bold personalities.
Keep it coming.
You know,
yeah,
it's like, I think that's something that I admire in people that I wish I was better at, you know what I mean? So it's like, I think it's always good to, for me anyways, whenever I meet those people and you kind of learn from them and being around them, you know.
Well, yeah, growing up, probably from kindergarten to ninth grade is where I joined speech and debate, which ultimately changed my entire life. I got confident on the stage. I grew confidence in myself. I was finally surrounded by like weird artist types that I didn't know because they were all upperclassmen. Mm-hmm. And so
and that was in college.
No, that was in ninth grade, in freshman year of high school. And so.
But that there were some weirdos in that town, I guess. But
that I didn't know about or hadn't connected with yet. And so I was like, oh, wow. Like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I feel passion for this. Mm-hmm. I was in band, too. Just a lot of stuff. Like, as much, as many things as I could do.
Right, to try and to see what.
I'm definitely a yes man. Like, I want to try everything a little
bit
once.
Yeah.
So try to do that. Especially to, like, boost the old college applications try to get as many options as I could honestly but wait, I forgot what I was talking
about you were on speech and debate and then leadership stuff like that in college.
I just opened up my freshman year and in high school and then that just grew a lot of confidence in myself that carried me through college, but I've been very introverted in certain points of my life and have needed the extroverts and the leaders and the bold ones to kind of take me under their wing. I remember specifically, if I may, my college roommate at TU, her name is Aubrey. She was, one of the most foundational people in my life and like took me under her wing the first day we met, which was the first day of leadership classes before the semester began. And I was just this really shy, lonely kid who needed someone, and she changed my life.
That's awesome.
And anyways, God bless her. And I know that people sometimes need that person to like take them in and introduce them and welcome them in.
And she is she older, I guess? Like,
no, she, I mean, we were in the same class, but her older sister was going there as well. So she was already, I think, comfortable and knew people. And anyway, she like gave me a nickname right off the bat and saw me. Like, it was, anyways, we became besties and then.
That's awesome.
Anyways, love her.
So, yeah, you got into leadership and I guess. You said you studied English in college.
Yes.
Like, what was the your major with that? Did you want to be a writer?
I had no idea.
Yeah, you just knew you loved English. Or
well, not even necessarily. I mean, yes. Mm-hmm. So English was always like the fail-proof plan, I guess. And so I knew that I wanted to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I could probably be an artist without having a degree in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so English was like, this is my safety proof.
Yeah, that's like you're going to college for English, but really you wanted to try stuff and figure it out on the along the way.
Yeah, and my I mean my dad was an English had been an English teacher at one point, so I knew that that was. I had no plan really, other than like my parents wanted me to go to college.
Right. Yeah.
And so went to college and blessed them for it. I like you know. I know that's not even a conversation for a lot of families. It's not an option for, and it was just something that I was essentially forced to do. Mm-hmm. And I know that's like a real privilege.
yeah, but it's good that they, you know, some parents don't do that for their children.
Right.
I imagine so. It's, you know, it's good to have some, you know, your parents that push you in that direction.
My parents have always been so supportive of all my artistic endeavors. Mm-hmm. Like when I was managing a restaurant out of college.
Okay, cool.
Super cool.
No, but that's awesome because it's like that's a huge, you know, that's some people's full careers.
Not to shame that at all.
But and to do it so young, that's I mean, it speaks to your leadership skills.
Well,
absolutely.
Thank you. I should say co-managing. I was not the only, but but it was honestly sucking my soul, and I personally was not receiving the respect that I thought that I deserved from the higher ups, and so. Called my mom one day at work and was like, hey mom, I'm going to be a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go for it. Please be okay with that. And then I quit.
Yeah.
And did that.
Mm-hmm.
And have been doing it ever since.
Oh, cool. And, that's absolutely something I wanted to transition into.
Sure. Yeah.
How did you find photography? What was the thing that made you want to pursue that in particular or anything?
I started taking photos as a hobby when I was 12. My grandmother gifted me a camera, and I took pictures of everything as it started.
Right.
And then that transformed into, like, taking artistic selfies from MySpace.
Okay, yeah.
And, like, literally spending hours after school just setting up portraits and interesting concepts.
That's awesome.
and I love doing that. And then one of my best, I met my best friend because she came over one day after school. She's a few years younger than me and was like, hey, do you want to go take pictures? And we have been best friends since I was 15. And so it's just always been a part of my life. I did not know that I was going to be doing it for a career at all. I thought it would be cool to do. Again, I knew I wanted to be an artist, and that was like, this was my footway into that. So I felt comfortable, like, you know, I was taking senior pictures for friends for a couple bucks. And I literally, I remember back in college, I was trying to just have any sort of portfolio for photography. And so literally posted on Craigslist, like, hey, cheap photographer for hire, blah, 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 blah. Let me know. I'll shoot you for basically free. And I was going to give up my birthday to photograph someone for $10. And so that's just...
So there was definitely a passion for that. I mean,
absolutely.
And you weren't even really aware of it, maybe, at the time.
I mean, I loved it, but I didn't know that it was going to be a whole thing. Or like that... I don't know. I look back at me like, my birthdays are my thing. Like, they're my holiday. And so me, like, wanting to go so hard to give up my birthday for $10. I was really excited. I've always been excited about it. And then weddings kind of fell into my lap, honestly. The first wedding I ever photographed was my stepbrother's and his wife's. Like, when I was 20 years old, maybe. And I look back at the photos and God bless me, God bless them for like hiring me. They are really bad. No offense, Jeff and Chelsea, if you listen to this, I want to re-photograph y'all for your anniversary or something. But they trusted me. And then I like, I didn't tell, like I told them, you know, I'm not charging you. And then they sent me a check that was the most money I've ever been given in my life up to that point.
For like a job or whatever.
They like mail me a check after the wedding. And I at this point in my life, I would not photograph a wedding for that amount. No offense to that either. But I was just like, Mom, look, I made X amount of money from the photography. And that really pushed, like made me realize that I could potentially do it. And then I... photograph, like, you know, going through college, was photographing friends' weddings, going, getting out of college, and then built a website, really focused on SEO, and then kind of, for some reason, I don't know, I had just a lot of people coming to me specifically for my style, which I don't know how I got it, other than just trial and error, and, like, focusing from other photographers who I admired, and pulling a little bit from there, but, kind of became like a back in the a few years ago was kind of a leader in the industry to some degree, and you know, did workshops and presentations on that.
The photography was that locally too,
locally? I hosted what was called a night school one time. Well, I didn't host, I was the presenter for a night school, and had a large audience there for the space. And one, this is me bragging, I gotta be honest with you. One girl, she came up to me after I had done, I was done like doing my spiel, and she was like, okay, I just learned more for you, more from you for free than I did on a 4-week Pacific Northwest photography workshop where I spent thousands of dollars. And I was like, oh, thank you.
That's
so much.
Cool. That's like a different perspective. I mean, obviously, I think about it with, when you were talking about like the MySpace stuff, right? I think that's kind of like the playground, right? Like where you, I remember for me in MySpace, I mean, that's where I was practicing like social media marketing in a way, or like, because I'm a graphic designer. So I love just making graphics and putting them up on MySpace for my bands or whatever music I was doing.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's kind of like, and that's still the same thing I do today, but on a different level. But it's like the MySpace kind of playground.
It changed our brands. No, like think, like we were HTML coding.
Didn't even have to know it. You had to. You had to do that just to change the colors on the...
And I miss it so bad, David. I do.
I think I agree. I think there was something about MySpace, specifically for music, because I've been playing music for 20 years. And you know, it's music in MySpace was just such they're such integrated, you know.
Some of my favorite bands still I found through MySpace. I love it.
And it's like now I just remember having to switch to Facebook for that, and it was just like it was so hard to share your music on mm-hmm. that platform. Mm-hmm. And probably, I mean, it still kind of is. I don't know.
No, the like switch to Facebook, yeah. I think, is one of my biggest traumas. Yeah. Just kidding. But I miss MySpace.
Something about that those days. Because I do think about MySpace. It was like the Wild West of social media.
But also, you had so much free reign for creativity. Yeah. Like, you could basically do anything you wanted on there in terms of designing.
Because it was like a free website. I mean, you could, especially how much control you had over the look and everything.
Mm-hmm. I spent way too much time on MySpace. Mm-hmm. Changing my layout.
But I imagine that's kind of where you developed your style, and especially for your artistic, you know, creativity with photography. Because it's like I'm a photographer as well. Like, I'm not as much experience as you. I feel like I started when I was in college. I was taking some photography classes, and I got really into it in college, and then I dropped out. I don't know. I just stopped. I didn't have a nice camera really, so I didn't pick it back up for maybe 15 years or something, mm-hmm. you know, until like it was actually a pandemic whenever it was in 2000 that summer when I got my first DSLR. Cause I was like, well, there's nothing to do. Let me go out and try to practice photography. And I bought that. I still didn't really use it for a couple of years after I got it. And then I got into Nick Campbell is my best friend. He started comedy about 2 or 3 years ago almost. And, he started producing shows, so I was like, and that was a way for me to get out of the house too. I was like, let me go. I'll just bring my camera and take photos and start practicing. And I've kind of practiced at his shows, getting better and better.
Nice.
And I don't have, but for my style of photography, it's like I like kind of the more just traditional, you know. But I look at your stuff, and it's very like artistic, and you do a lot of like. Do you do like any tricks, like as far as like exposure, or like is it all editing, or what is it?
Great question. A lot of it is just in camera, and then I'll fix that. Like, I don't add anything when I'm editing. Mm-hmm. I'm just making the photo cohesive.
Yeah, just kind of maybe tweak the levels or whatever.
Yeah, and so I play with prism sometimes, mm-hmm. or like free lensing, motion blur. Mm. Yeah, slowing down the shutter. Double exposures are fun. Mm-hmm. So I do play, like, when I'm given the time to do those things, I love to do those things. Wedding days aren't always the opportunity to.
But I imagine if people see your stuff, and then they want that for their wedding photos or whatever, right? I imagine, like, because I was looking through your website. I remember looking at your website whenever we first met a few months ago, and thought it was really cool. It's like your style and the way the whole website is, it's just very artistic. You can tell it's like it's not just your traditional like menu bars and stuff. It's got a lot of character and stuff. So
thank you.
I think that goes into your art of photography.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm an Enneagram 4, which means that I just want to be a unique individual.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of my clients and couples in the past have seen that my style is, you know, not the traditional wedding photography or lifestyle photography, and choose me for that reason, which I feel so honored by.
Because you had mentioned earlier about the website and the SEO stuff and that, and then... And is that where you kind of built your business? I mean, straight 100%. From that?
Yeah, like, I mean, it was definitely word of mouth, but SEO in the beginning had so much to do with it. I was consistently ranking on page one of Google for a while there. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer. Yeah. Need to boost it up again. Yeah. Once I was in a good spot with search engines, flowed, and it was nice. Super easy.
So what are some of the tricks what would you do? Because I'm familiar with SEO. I don't know exactly. I don't know. I've always heard that term and knew, and you know, I know what it is, but it's like I don't really know how to. What do you do to kind of manipulate that and help boost yourself?
So honestly, I'm not up to speed with current stuff, like, because it changes all the time. And so what I was doing in the past, I would be blogging a lot, using, you know, the words that Google wants to read.
And you had that blog on the website.
Yes, on the website. Also backlinks, like back in that day, I was getting featured a lot, published a lot.
That's something I remember from learning about it was like, oh, you have to have your link on a lot of other websites.
Yes. Yeah, so getting featured in any, that was a big deal. Tagging the images with you know, alt alt tags, code words, whatever the hell. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, I'm not an expert. I just Googled everything and then tried to do it.
Okay.
That's really it. And then, you know, there are like, I use a WordPress website, and there are just certain plugins that help you with your SEO. Okay. So stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I think I think that we're both on the same page as far as like, I probably could have done it well back then too, because I knew kind of, but Google now, like, what is even is Google now? You type it in and it's just an AI that tells you stuff, so I don't even know how you can do it these days either.
I don't know. I need to do some research.
But you know, I think that these days it seems like to me that, you know, social media is, would be a big, like, if you had to do it all over again today from scratch, do you think that would, like, social media is the way to go with that? Or
yes and no. I would still 100% have a website.
The website is still important.
It adds legitimacy.
Sure.
You can do so much more with it. Right. It's much more better, like, representation of who you are, what your work is. However, like, if there were TikTok back in the day, hell I'd be on that.
Use that. Take every advantage you can.
Yeah, or like, I never got into the YouTube. I'd never expected it to become such a huge thing. Not that it wasn't big when I was younger and like using it more, but
it's definitely, it definitely wasn't like it is today. I mean, as many people that use it. I mean, I don't know. It's I love YouTube. That's my favorite social media thing, I guess.
No, I respect that. Yeah. I need to. I only utilize YouTube when I need to fix something in my house, really.
Oh yeah, right.
And so
that's, yeah, that is,
but
a huge,
it's so useful. I love, like, I'll occasionally get into, like, I, when I'm cleaning my house, I'll watch like, oh, this person's organizing their entire house. I'm gonna watch this now. So I need to utilize it more because I know it's so valuable. But I would have used the hell out of it.
That's cool. Yeah, because that's always something I like social media. I mean, I like it. I say that, but I think it's terrible also.
I respectfully hate it.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, I'm fascinated by it. Yeah. And always trying to learn how to use it better. And, you know, well, I think the one question I always have is like, how do you reach more people, you know, with your art or whatever it is you're doing?
I don't know, because I don't post on social media hardly ever. Yeah. And the thing is, if I may, I do believe social media has warped us as an entire like population, basically, and we have become either completely self-centered or completely unloving of ourselves due to social media, and I see it as a problem. Therefore, I do not really engage with it. I know that it's a great tool, but I get sucked into the trap of, wow, all these people are better than me, therefore I suck. And so that's dangerous for me. I don't like to F with that, basically. Obviously that's something to do. I need to heal and grow and like know that that's not the truth.
But it's also like how you have to go about your life. I mean, I think I'm similar in that way. Like, I don't look at it as often. I think as some people have a huge problem, you know. Like, I can look at it for a couple, you know, maybe 5 minutes at a time, and I'm like, scroll through and, you know, like a couple people's posts, and then put it down, and I'd go on and do whatever it is, creating or doing whatever I'm doing with my life, and I don't even think about it. But many people are not like that.
And it's, I mean, it's not real life. And that's like, I have, you know, I've been talking with friends face to face, and they'll pull out their phone. And I've been guilty of that too. Like, everyone, I'm sure, has done that. But it, that is not real life. And real life is around you and is never going to be on your screen. And so that that's something really important to me. Like, I really try to be mindful of how much screen time I'm getting, and like, I know that it's an energy suck and a mind suck and an emotional suck, and I'm using that word too much now, but
But no, it is. It's you know, and like I was saying, I think you have to know how to handle, how to utilize it for what you need it for, and then not let it take over or control you or something.
Yeah, like it, I need to outsource. I would love to outsource and just have someone run. I don't do that right now.
That'd
but if that, if that's an option for you and you feel like social media sucks your entire existence, then do that. It's a lot. It's definitely a tool, and it can be damaging as well.
So, I mean, we can get away from that a little bit. I think that's a great conversation. I always like I said, I'm always fascinated to talk to people about that because it's just such a big part of all of our lives, whether we want it to be or not.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
So let's see. I wanted to, let me just see what I've got because we've touched on a lot of this stuff, but so yeah, we can get back to photography a little bit more.
Sure.
What's it like being a full-time photographer? I mean, like, is it, you know, what are some of the challenges? Do you have like any tips for someone that maybe like is trying to be a full-time photographer?
Yes. So there's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, okay, starting yourself up is the hardest part.
Yeah.
That's going to take the much time, energy, effort, money right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
So, build a website, you know, do the SEO thing.
Yeah.
Establish yourself as much as you can on social media.
Yeah.
Read about it online because I'm not an expert.
Right.
And then until you have a portfolio that draws people in, you need to be building that portfolio.
Okay.
Do it for free too because, like, that is, I'd tell anyone this, if you can't find paying clients yet, you need to build a portfolio for free until you can have paying clients. You also need to figure out your monthly expenses. If you're going to be a full-time photographer, how much you need to be making per month, and then adjust your prices accordingly. You also I mean, like, everything's expensive. Your gear's going to be expensive. Website upkeep can be expensive. Outsourcing things can be expensive. Time and money are two different things for me. My time feels more valuable than money sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
I agree with that.
But those few initial first years, you got to just put in the work, I would say.
I like that where you said about the budget because I often struggle with anything. I mean, like I said, I've been a graphic designer forever as far as my professional life. Not currently anymore, but I've always struggled with like trying to freelance freelance graphic artist because it's like I don't really know. Well, I mean, for many reasons, but one of them is like I don't, you know, you don't know what you should charge, right? And I think that that's a good point what you bring up is like find out what you need and then
divide from there.
You know, that's what you need.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
To charge,
I mean, it doesn't have to be this mysterious number. It's literally just the facts of life. Look at what you need per month and figure out how many sessions or how many weddings you need to make that number. And then hopefully a little extra for whatever the hell.
Because you can, you always probably want to bump it up a little bit just
absolutely
in case.
For safety. Yeah. And let's be real. You're not going to reach that number every month.
Yeah.
I don't reach that number every month.
So you have to kind of plan for that also.
Yeah. So I've been in this game for 13 years and some months I'm still struggling, you know, it varies and some months I'm like, oh, I'm rolling in it right now. And so it'll vary because the market fluctuates and things, trends come and go and whatever. But those are some things that I would suggest doing for sure, especially when it comes to money. And then you're gonna need to respectfully have to pay your taxes and stuff too.
So. Oh, put away for that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Put away for that, which is 30% sometimes. So figure out what you need to make. Add 30% at least.
I like that for sure because that's definitely a good tip that I've never really thought about as far as, you know, figuring out that your prices because it's, you know, I've always been like, okay, I kind of like make up a number, but I kind of like go up based off of what people have paid me before, you know,
and
what I can get for, you know.
And you, I mean, there's definitely, like, you might have to build up to those prices, of course.
Yeah, because like you were saying, you're going to have to do it for free probably for a long time before people will trust you enough to give you what you really want.
And there's no harm in taking the steps to, like, you start free, then you charge $50 and $100, and then at some point, $500 and $750, and, you know.
Just especially depending on what it is, I imagine.
Like, I started my first wedding, I'm going to be so transparent with you. My first wedding I photographed, I got paid $500.
Okay.
I did not ask for it. I said I'd do it for free. My average client now pays me about $5,000. So it is, in between that, I had $800 weddings, $1,200 weddings.
Like every number in between.
Yes, literally every number in between. And it took a long time to get there. but you know, it's doable. So you got to work hard. You got to make a name for yourself to some degree. You got to show like you can back it up. And your stuff has got to be consistent enough to like, you know, keep people coming in the door.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. So let me see. Yeah. So I guess staying on the photography, I wanted to, let me think. Oh, well, I had one more kind of section to jump to, but, what's like been one of the biggest challenges that you've encountered with being a full-time photographer and like, how did you overcome that? or have you?
That's a good question. Getting started was definitely a challenge, but I was so just decided on it. I was going to do it.
But it seems like you have a lot of determination and a lot of like, you know, like we were saying earlier about growing up and just being very driven. I think it's in putting in the hard work.
Yeah. I got to the point.
Which is necessary.
Thank you. It is necessary. Yeah. And I would say right now, like, I'm at the point in my business where things just are easy. Mm-hmm. They flow. It got to the point of it just being really simple because of all the front loading.
Plus, I mean, the amount of time, 13 years of doing it, you learn so much.
That's the 10,000 hours you need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, these days it's probably not very as challenging.
It sometimes feels too easy. Like I don't have to think about it at all sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like I can, I can show up to a session thinking about literally anything in the world.
Just doing whatever else beforehand.
And the photos will turn out great because I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But getting there was a lot of shitty photos taken. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of not knowing how to edit. There was a lot of not even understanding how to shoot in certain lighting scenarios. Mm-hmm. There was getting the clients in, getting the word of mouth, like building the trust in people because wedding specifically. And then I photograph many other things beyond weddings, but those days are, you need to trust your photographer.
Yeah.
You need to know that they have your back and that they're going to produce images that can't be redone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You only have one shot.
Exactly. And so like, you're going to need to save up money for backup gear, for backup lenses, for all that stuff so that you can be extra prepared on a wedding day and all the like hard drives and backup, all that stuff. So there were a lot of like financial challenges. Yes.
Yeah.
Growth challenges. Yes. Just finding my voice, so to speak. That was a big challenge. I knew where I wanted to go. Like I could see it, but it took me a long time to get there. And, I think anyone who has the vision for it, if you can puzzle piece it out and like just dissect it and figure out what steps you need to take to reach your vision, that's the way to go. It's going to be a hell of a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
It's going to be like studying who you admire and what you admire most and not necessarily copying that, but implementing that into your own work. I like so many of my clients come to me specifically because I take photos that have a lot of negative space in them.
Yeah.
Like the miniature subjects and the big old frame. And I learned that way back in the day from someone I admired, Carl Zock, who was I don't think he photographs weddings anymore, maybe elopements, but he had a lot of images like that just truly spoke to me.
Okay.
And so I was like, I want to do that. and now like 25% of the people who hire me are like, oh, I love those photos with the big sky.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, cool. Glad that's still working for me.
I like that. Yeah, I use some of that, you know, in terms of my photography. It's like just, I like when I'm doing comedy or performances, right? Like, I like kind of having, you'll have the subject, someone in the middle, but then you'll have like someone's head, like kind of framing it, you know what I mean? Like people in the audience, back of their heads and stuff like that.
Yes, no, absolutely.
But I think I like that a lot. I have gotten comments, or somebody's told me about like, you know, they don't like that or something, but I think it's a personal preference
thing.
It's an artistic choice.
Absolutely.
Too.
Yeah. And here's the deal, people. If you're looking at a photographer's work and there's something you don't like about their work, don't hire them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and.
But yeah, like you said, people hire you specifically for that. And then other people might not want
They
that.
Might not drive. I'm not the photographer for everyone.
Exactly.
And that's also something good to realize in the beginning. Not everyone's going to hire you. You're not going to speak to everyone. And that's okay. But you will have enough clients once you get your footing to keep you afloat, I think. Like, there's enough to go around. And that's been a big learning curve, too. Especially because a lot of my friends are competition, so to speak.
Yeah, you know a lot of photographers.
A lot of my best pals are also wedding photographers.
Yeah, okay.
And our styles are not too far off. Right. Like, we have a lot of client, like, I know for a fact,
especially
a lot of clients.
Because you're probably, you know, you're friends with them, so you probably have similar personalities or similar creative ideas.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
And a few of them I also have, like, trained a little bit, too. But,
Yeah, you learn from each other. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, you're
there's going to be crossover similarities. Mm-hmm. But, so you also have to set yourself apart enough, too, which is a big thing. Mm-hmm. I would say, like, people, no matter what, I think photographs need to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. I think that is ultimately what people want in a photographer, is for them to tell the story, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Anything beyond that is bonus.
Yeah.
So if you're learning to be a photographer, learn how to tell the truth and learn how to make that photo, like, just in camera, as truthful as possible. Mm-hmm. Sharp, colors right, mm-hmm. exposure correct, so to speak. And who's to say what makes a technically perfect photo? Because that's, also open to interpretation in terms of camera settings. But hone in on that first. Get your footing in terms of, like, documenting, telling the honest story of things. And then from there, start playing around. Start getting experimental. Start messing with lights, slow shutter speeds, whatever, double exposures. And I think you'll find your specific style with that. Mm-hmm. For anyone who's, like, still searching for that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people right off the bat, like, know what they want their work to look like.
Yeah.
I was kind of one of those people, but it took me a while to get it. Yeah.
So I think you probably keep trying stuff. The more you do it, you kind of maybe try something. Maybe you stumble upon something that you didn't know you liked, and then you start doing it that way.
Right. Well, like, composition specifically is something I'm really drawn to in all photographs. Mm-hmm. And so once I started becoming known for my compositions, that just made me want to get even deeper into those and come up with, let's see how many interesting compositions I can take in a wedding day. Anyways.
When I think about photography, for me personally, I think about one of the reasons why I like it so much is because of that composition. Because I'm a graphic designer, so it's like that's what we do, right? It's like you're designing something, and it's very similar it's weird how similar photography and graphic design can be in that way, because
you're thinking about everything like similarly.
I mean, it in the end product is the same. It was similar too, because it's just a box with
things, something in it,
shapes and color. And
exactly. No,
so it's the same. Yeah. So I think that's why, I don't know. I wish I had went towards photography many years ago instead of graphics, just because it's hard to in the field. I've struggled for many years trying to find more work for graphic design, like, in a career wise. I mean, yeah, like I said, I always wanted to do it more freelance too. But anyways, I think the photography is a lot more opportunities, especially these days, I think, with social media.
Yeah, for sure.
People wanting those nice photos.
Absolutely. It does. I mean, I've also heard the opposite because of AI and because of, like, the iPhone can take such a good photo.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. It's the
and
competition
so it,
with
it,
that.
It can be competitive for sure. I mean,
it's the same. Similar with graphics, though. It's like, that's the worst thing is whenever people start designing their own stuff.
Canva.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the worst thing for us, because it also lowers the bar for what is acceptable as a professional graphic design. So,
no, I hear that.
It's always, you know, but we always have to compete against technology, I think, with art or whatever we're doing. So, one more thing about photography I wanted to ask, like, you mainly do weddings. Is that your favorite? I know you talked a little bit about why you liked doing weddings, but do you do, like, a lot of other sessions or, like, anything, like?
Yeah.
or I guess my question is, like, what is your favorite thing to take pictures of? Whatever?
Good question. I don't think I have a favorite, honestly. I just love photographing humanity, like, at its
But yeah, humans, because that is something like I used to get into when I first got into it. I loved going, just going to the park, and I'd take pictures of flowers and nature and stuff.
Nature's great. Yeah. Yes. I think there's like a anything that has spirit, I'm but down to photograph. Like my camera roll and my on my phone. I don't take pictures for myself, like personal photos that much anymore, but every photo is like a moment that made me feel joy.
Yeah, like something you're just seeing in the world and you want to capture it.
Yes, so anything that, you know, I'm interested in, I'm going to try to photograph. I do work for Edible OKC now
You had some publications or something like that, or some awards even, is that right? Or
well, I do have awards, not through Edible, my own stuff. But yeah, I did some, I've done freelance work for magazines, have shot for many clients, like corporations, etc.
Cool.
I just started with Edible in November, so I do, like, I love food, I love writing, thinking about it, tasting it, eating it, cooking it, and so a big dream of mine growing up was to be a food photographer, writer, and so this just feels like a little nice pocket to be in, just doing, getting to do some of that, part-time, and just seeing what makes the food scene in Oklahoma City and surrounding areas, like, function and work, it's really cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, yeah, I think that's about. I wanted to jump to a little bit. I mean, kind of a interesting, just performing arts as a whole, because I think obviously poetry is a part of that. Because when you read it on stage in front of someone, I saw the first time I guess met you. I don't think we actually met that night, but you were a part of a improv show. With the Martin Dupras at My See Them Gallery, which I'm heavily involved with. I've known those girls for a long, long time.
No, I love them.
And and you were doing improv. Was that? No, it was a sketch.
A sketch comedy. Was heavily it? Kind of improv.
Yeah, it was. But you guys, because you guys, it was like a show. Like you guys had rehearsed it and everything.
Two entire rehearsals,
Yeah, what? Can you talk a little bit about that? Like what? Had you done that before, or is that something you've been wanting to get into?
Yeah, so I was a theater kid growing up in high school, and then missed that in college, so joined improv, improv troupe, and did that for a few years. And I've the moment I stepped on a stage for the first time, I freaking loved it, I gotta admit. And I was like the kid singing solos at church in third grade and stuff like that, like...
But I imagine, because I was going to bring that up a little bit too, like whenever you're talking about getting into speech and debate, I mean, you're getting on stage in front of people. I mean, that is a performing art, right?
Yes.
Like it's the same, similar things as comedy or music or anything, right?
I don't know what there's a shift that happens when you step on stage, right? Or in front of a mic where like it's not about you anymore. You're not even there really. And so... Or at least most of it is an out of body experience for me, and still is. But I love it. And I don't know, like during an open mic night, the first open mic night I ever walked into, I've acted before, I've done humorous stuff before, I've done dramatic stuff before, but I've never shared my poetry before on a microphone. That is highly vulnerable because it is about me. It is literally my thoughts and feelings that I'm sharing with a room of strangers.
It's like when I imagine when you're acting, you're not yourself.
Right, you're a character.
You're trying to be someone else. You're trying to be something else or whatever.
Absolutely.
So then, whenever you get up on stage, I imagine it's similar with stand-up comedy just because it is sharing yourself with the world.
Absolutely. No, respect to comedians for sure. Some of them...
Yeah, maybe not.
Well, I have some issues with some of their content, but whatever.
Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. But I think, is that something you'd ever tried? Did you ever want to try stand-up comedy in particular? I ask that to a lot of people because I think it's something I'm curious. Like, I want to try it, I think. I mean, I definitely want to. I don't think I'd want to be a stand-up comic.
Right,
but
yeah.
But I think it's important to try something like that.
No, I agree. Kind of.
Have you ever tried it?
No, because it frightens the hell out of me. But I literally just started a note on my phone this morning that is probably going to be the first set of jokes I ever tell if I ever do stand-up comedy. Okay. And the theme is things I could get away with if I were a comedian with a penis.
Okay.
And yeah. So things I wouldn't feel comfortable saying as a woman or a non-binary person. Mm-hmm. And anyways, so there's a pull there. However, I will say, I am much funnier right off the cuff.
Yeah.
I'm much funnier doing
like the improv. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I can yes and you mm-hmm. all day. I can banter. I can be witty. But writing the jokes is difficult for me. So I do have... Okay. I used to like kind of shit on stand-up comedians mm-hmm. because I thought that writing the jokes was like...
cheating or something.
Like yeah. It's not funny if you spent so much time writing it. But then I have had to deconstruct that mm-hmm. notion and have a lot more respect for them now. Mm-hmm. most of them. but anyways, yeah, it's sharing your soul one way or another. The first time I was ever on an open mic, I was shaking, literally shaking, couldn't feel my body at the same time. Didn't like, and I'd like just heart pounding. And then I got off the stage and I was like, that was the best thing in my entire life.
And you just like, can't wait to do it again.
Exactly. And that feeling has faded a little bit.
Yeah.
I still, you know, also our venues have changed. And so the vibes are different, blah, 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 blah. But I still love sharing. Mm-hmm. And I love a microphone. Mm-hmm. I love a podcast. Mm-hmm. I actually, a few days before you reached out to me, I was like, man, I kind of want to be on another podcast.
Oh, yeah. And what other podcasts have you done? Have you?
I used to host one with my best friend called A Word to the Wise. Mm-hmm. And that was short-lived because she got pregnant.
Oh.
Happily.
Yeah.
Her and her husband got pregnant. And she, she got married. Yeah, and so things that's life. Mm-hmm. And so we have a few episodes. and that's really it.
Yeah.
This one. Although, that's it. I think I just dream about being on podcasts a lot. And so I'm like, yeah, it's time.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm happy that we got to do this just because, like I said, I think you're a fascinating person, and it's like I like to have people and creative. Like that's the whole thing, right? Like the show is just about like this creativity and like what, you know, where that comes from for us, you know, individually too. That's why I like asking about like where you grew up and like where it got you into whatever, you know, art that you're a part of.
Yeah.
Also, I guess a couple more things about the performing arts. You also mentioned music. What all music do you play, or instruments? You said you're a singer too. Are you singing?
I sang well enough to sing solos at church in a small church in a small town. I can hit a note. Yeah. I can carry a tune. Mm-hmm. I played the alto saxophone growing up fifth grade through high school graduation. Jazz band, concert band. I also kind of was honorary percussionist because some of our percussionists were ineligible. And so I had to, anyways, play the bass drum, play the snare drum, know how to play the quads.
Yeah. I mean, it just speaks to everything you said. You've just tried so many things.
You got to try it out. Man, you've only got one life. Yeah. Why not take advantage of all the opportunities? I was drum major too, my senior year.
Cool.
Yeah, I just love music, and it's I no longer play anything well.
Yeah,
don't
keep up with anything.
No, I did get to play the violin yesterday with the help from Yoko for like 1 minute, and it filled my heart.
Try it,
I'm always like I have a keyboard in my room that I'm always thinking about. I used to play the piano growing up, like took lessons. I shouldn't say used to play, but like I want to learn that again.
Mm-hmm.
I am musical, but
yeah.
I have a lot of other things to focus on.
Yeah, that's
on
the problem. There's only so many hours in the day. It's for all of us. So
that damn social media.
You gotta choose. Yeah, choosing what you want to focus on is tough.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's great because I'm a musician. Like I'm a bass player. That's the only thing I play. Actually, I can play a little bit of drums, but I'm not good. You know, I just don't practice.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, bass has been the one thing that I've just loved as far as playing music goes.
No, that's awesome. I have a ton of musician buddies who I love, and
yeah,
it's so cool. I'm always like, mad respect to anyone playing an instrument.
Yeah, there's something about music. For me, too, I think it's a lot of it is, I mean, music is just magical, right?
Oh, like you completely said. Spiritual.
But I think it's something about the performance that drives me to keep doing it, too, because there's nothing like you're saying, there's nothing like getting on a stage and sharing something that you made with people that...
Yes.
I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's...
It. Yeah, it's not, and it's hard to explain even. Yeah. Like, there's just something about it.
It's very addictive, too, I think.
It is, and it's a good thing. Like, there are worse things to be addicted to, for sure. Yeah. So
it's like you're bringing joy to people, hopefully.
Yeah, you can. And, okay, you said that, and that, like, struck a chord with me.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say this as a poet.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, and just even modern day, a lot of poetry has been tied up with trauma and shame, mm-hmm. and as it should be to some degree, because that is you're writing about it to heal, to grow.
And that's, you know, that's us, that's human.
Yes, but I think it's so important for poets to be able to express their joy,
mm-hmm.
to be able to share that love, hope, peace, mm-hmm. all the, you know, quote unquote, fruits of the spirit,
mm-hmm.
because that is the poetry that, like, changes people's lives, mm-hmm. ultimately. That is, mm-hmm. what people, they can feel with your sadness,
yeah, and they can, but you're gonna
be uplifting people, mm-hmm. and bringing them hope, and, like, means back, this is dark. I was suicidal for a lot of my 20s,
mm-hmm.
and completely depressed, had no idea who I was at all, zero clue, mm-hmm. felt like I was soulless. And Andrea Gibson is a poet who changed my life, reminded me to, like, be kind to myself, mm-hmm. to look for the good in the world, to try to find joy. And they have been through deep pain, and mm-hmm. also write about deep pain as well, but turn it into something that brings hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'd be alive without it. Right. I would, hopefully.
Yeah.
But, like, but poetry can shape people's outlook for their entire lives and can heal them and help them. Not just writing it, getting it out there.
Yeah.
Because you never know who's going to need to listen to, mm-hmm. what you have to say. And that's why I think what we're doing at Red Dirt is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's voice is important. Yeah. They need the opportunity to share.
Just, giving them that option, the opportunity to get on stage and share their feelings and emotions. I mean, that's something that I think about a lot with this podcast and everything I do with my YouTube stuff is, like, I want to share other people's art, you know, and get more attention and eyes on them so they can go follow. It's like after every video I ever post, pretty much is like, please follow and support the artists in this video. You know, like, that's the most important thing to me.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I think that's something that's, you know, very important. I think that why I look at, you know, with Red Dirt and I think we have common goals in that way.
Yeah, for sure. Well, everything we do has art related to it, right? Like, everything we look at, see, touch, interact with in the world, some sort of art has, mm-hmm. touched that thing to some degree. We wouldn't be ourselves without it. Mm-hmm. No one would. Even if they don't think that they're a creative or an, mm-hmm. artist or anything, I firmly believe that everyone has creativity in them and they just haven't honed in on what
or figured
they,
out. Yeah.
Yes.
What it is, what kind of medium they need to express.
And there's so many. You don't have to be confined to the traditional. Mm-hmm. You can go and make up your own new type of art if you want.
I think a lot about, you know, creativity and this, like, creative drive that everyone has in some capacity or, you know, some level, right? Like, I look at myself, I have a very, very high creative drive. It's like, mm-hmm. I have to create. Otherwise, I am very depressed, and I know what that looks like from, like, the lockdown pandemic years, and it's just like where I wasn't doing anything, just miserable all the time.
Yeah, no.
So it's like, so I think about that a lot, and I think about, you know, the normies out there that don't do art or music or create anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is another kind of expression whenever it's like, you're creating a family, you're creating...
Sure, you're cooking, like, a meal, you're making a home,
There's so many different types of creativity that we don't think about as creativity.
Yeah, you're singing a song with your, mm-hmm. family, or, playing it. Yeah, like, there's so much, and you don't have to be a painter or, you know, a sculptor or a photographer, mm-hmm. to consider yourself an artist. Mm-hmm. I think everyone has art in them, has creativity in them, and I also think it's important to express or to try to, mm-hmm. get out of you. It's like a life force.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are created to create, I mm-hmm. think. And that can take a lot of different shapes. But everyone, I think also thinking about it, like, well, I'm not going to get into that now. But yeah, everyone needs to have the means to feel like they are mm-hmm. welcomed yeah. to create.
I mean, I do think, because I think about when, what art is like this, you know, it's expression of ourself, our human self, or mm-hmm. whatever it is that's inside of us, and we get it out and it becomes art. I mean, whatever. So I think, yeah, it's hugely important for us. And yeah, I think I lost my train of thought a little bit. But
that's okay. Well, but yeah, it's like scientifically proven. I can't quote the science right. on this, but it is scientifically proven that the act of making uh-huh. art, not even the final product, the act itself is where the joy is, mm-hmm. is where the true, like, wonder mm-hmm. lies when you're making art. So even if you're practicing or just, like, jacking around or
yeah, just doodling, yeah.
literally whatever, like, you're like going to find yeah. something good within it. And you don't have to give a damn about the finished product. You don't have to show the finished product yeah, to anyone.
Absolutely.
Like,
because sometimes it could just be for you. I think that, you know, a sure. lot of it, because I think a little bit what I was trying to say was like, where you get out something that's in your head and you can look at it mm-hmm. and other people can look at it mm-hmm. and they can interpret it or they can whatever. But it's like you've expressed that and then it's in the world now. It's not just inside of you.
Right.
And sometimes that can be very healing. I mean, many yeah. times.
Oh.
Or it's like you need to get something out because otherwise it's going to consume you from the inside.
Absolutely. No, mm-hmm. all artists, everyone needs healing. Yeah. Let's be real about uh-huh. that. Like everyone has something in them that they're traumatized by or that they've dealt with that has wounded them to some mm-hmm. degree. You cannot escape that, period. Whether you realize that or not is a completely different story. But all mm-hmm. artists, I would say, are people who are trying to heal themselves, are mm-hmm. trying to grow, hopefully, and use their means of creating as an expression of mm-hmm. that. That's what it is for me. Maybe not necessarily wedding photography, because right. that's such like a service thing. But yeah, poetry, other... like, I do paint. I do draw. Uh-huh. I don't show that shit to anyone yeah. because I'm not good at it, quote unquote, which is such a phony reason not to share.
But like don't, I said, sometimes it's not, that's not the point.
Exactly. That you, that's not yeah. the point. It is, I become so meditative mm-hmm. when I'm painting mm-hmm. or drawing. Like that is one of, those are two of the only things that I can do where I just become completely lost mm-hmm. in the act and I'm not in my head and I'm not.
Yeah.
You know,
get worried about whatever it is, the problems you have to deal with in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times those are obviously you have to think about that eventually. But if you just dwell on it all day, it's not going to help until you can.
Right.
It's like, so you have to learn how to do things to
yeah.
get those out.
I think it. Yeah.
Put a stop to that.
I ultimately like thinking about this. I think art is just like a spiritual practice for most people. Mm-hmm. Like when we get down into the nitty gritty. And it's something that we do for survival, mm-hmm. not just beautifying or not right. just joy, but mm-hmm. like finding roots yeah. in this weird ass world.
Learn about yourself and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And knowing who you are mm-hmm. is one of the biggest gifts you can give yeah. yourself, I think. Continue asking questions, continually getting to know yourself, asking hard questions too, not just assuming that you know everything about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a gift to know yourself inside and out. And this is coming from someone who, again, did not know myself mm-hmm. for a while, couldn't understand myself. And I told him that was the darkest point of my life, was not understanding, just having no freaking shred of an idea about what my soul was. Or I didn't even have it. I just felt like a shell of a human. Anyways.
Yeah, no, it's, but I think, yeah, it's the art is that helps you get out of that. Sometimes you can look at it and you can, maybe if you have all these dark thoughts in your mind and you put it on paper in a poem and then you read it and then you look at it and you don't feel as bad about that thing anymore or whatever,
sure,
just
yeah.
because it's, you can look at it from another perspective, maybe.
Yeah, I think getting it out of you, no matter how mm-hmm. you do it, is important. We can't keep things yeah. in because they explode or can become dangerous. Yeah, I mean, before art, before, if you're in a bad spot mentally or emotionally, this is just a PSA,
mm-hmm.
focus on joy and gratitude before you start making your art, because that sounds so phony and so silly. But those things, if you can write them down or think about those things, the tiniest things too. When I was the most depressed, all I could think of that I was grateful for was my bed, my dogs, Netflix, and
So I guess I wanted to jump back to a quick, or just because another thing that we had kind of worked on together was a film recently.
Yes.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about that before we go, but the Martin Dupross. Good friends of mine. How long have you known them? Or when did
I met them through Red Dirt. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I've known them about.
So I was curious.
Two years or so.
Yeah. So yeah, you came in to help with some camera work.
Yes.
Have you ever done like video stuff like that before, or have?
I've dabbled.
Yeah, I was curious about like your filmmaking kind of aspirations, or.
I don't know if I ever had filmmaking aspirations until the past 3 years.
Okay.
And now all of a sudden I'm like, oh damn, I kind of really want to do this.
Yeah.
So if I actually can't talk about what I was about to say because it's still a secret.
Yeah. If you don't, don't share anything that's not public yet.
Yeah. There are definitely, I have aspirations to make some films. I don't know how big they'll ever be, but I don't know if I would be the director or the director of photography, or I'll act in them, or I'll write them. Like, I kind of want to do everything.
Because, you definitely have a lot of experience in a lot of different areas of film already.
Yes.
That would be beneficial to a film crew or whatever.
Thank you. Thank you. I did have a, like, I keep telling the Martin Dupross, like, that was so much fun for me. I enjoyed every second of that. It was literally just standing behind a camera and looking at it and making sure everything looked good. But it was thrilling.
Yeah. But I think that the reason why, I mean, you know composition so well, so it makes sense. I mean, it's instead of just taking one shot, you're just setting a camera up to, you know, get.
Continual motion. Yeah. Yeah. I did dabble with, I offered videography with my wedding collections for like 1 year. And I had 5 or 6 weddings who wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So I have made wedding films before and like personal, like I had a Coachella themed birthday, Rachella themed birthday party last year. And so made like a cool vibey like
little
video for that. It's always just been something I dabble in, but I'm learning, like consistently trying to learn more about.
Yeah, but you kind of, you're saying it feels like you want to do it more and get more involved.
Yeah.
Especially with Jeremy and Lauren. Like, I mean, that was the first time I'd ever done any kind of film stuff.
I mean,
besides outside of this kind of video production, which, I mean, I've practiced kind of video production since high school in some capacity, whether it's editing or. Maybe we used to make skate videos when we were kids, like,
because
we loved it. We were skateboarders or whatever. So I get my video camera out and I would edit them. But so I've always been fascinated by the whole process. I took a semester of film classes a couple of years ago, a few years ago. But I really got into sound because that's something I'm already interested in. Mm. I've got a whole room back there full of sound recording equipment and, you know, for music. So, like, anyways. So I kind of focused heavily on that when I was taking film classes and kind of learned how to, you know, record audio for film. And so I got involved with them on this latest project and did all their audio for it.
Yes.
From what I've seen, it's very good. Have you seen the trailer thing that they made? I think they sent out a link.
Yes.
But I still haven't seen the whole film.
Same.
I'm very excited about it.
I'm excited too.
But, so that will be coming soon. Awkward Gawker, be on the lookout.
Yes.
And let's see. Yeah, I think that's about it. I guess, okay, so we always wrap up. So where do you see yourself in, like, the next 5 years or something? And, like, that kind of, like, your future goals and, like, what does success look like to you?
Wow. Loaded question.
Kind of,
and I'm going to answer it so vaguely and simply.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many more dreams and like ideas in my gut than what I'm about to say, but I just want to be like living my life joyfully.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm in that spot right now. I love what I'm doing right now. I want to keep doing it until it no longer brings me joy. And then we'll figure that out.
Yeah. Find the next thing.
Yeah. I'm working on a book right now, a book of poetry for myself.
Cool.
So that is like a big goal. And if I don't have that mother ever published in 5 years, then shame on me.
Yeah.
So, definitely have been, I'll have probably a few books out by then, let's just say.
Yeah, hopefully.
you know, I don't know where wedding photography is going to be at that mm-hmm. point. I'll probably always be taking pictures to some degree. Mm-hmm. I would, you know, if poetry turns into something that can financially support mm-hmm. me, that could be cool. But I also have learned the hard way that doing something you love so much that it becomes right. your sole means of income can also damage it. So
yeah.
I'm really kind of in a phase where I'm figuring it out, and mm-hmm. I don't, my future at the moment is kind of a blurry question mark, mm-hmm. but I'm excited by that.
Yeah.
I like to like dream and manifest, and I don't uh-huh. think that's a crack of shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a lot of dreams for myself, and we're still lining them up.
Yeah. You kind of, it seems like you'll just go until you find what feels right and go towards that.
Yes.
I think that's the best thing that anyone can do, is just whatever feels right, just keep doing that, you know.
And I know like how many people aren't able to say that about mm-hmm. their jobs. I do yeah. feel highly, highly privileged that I get to spend mm-hmm. every day doing things that I truly love to do. And I hope that I never have to give that up.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder like, oh, maybe I'll go back into like corporate America yeah. or like, I don't know, but I don't want to.
Yeah. Hopefully we won't have to, but yeah, it's like, 'cause it seems like you've definitely found a way to support yourself that is, you know, purely creative and what you want to be doing and mm-hmm. what you truly enjoy. So that's really awesome and inspiring.
Thank you.
So that's something that I've, like I said, I'm trying to figure out for myself. I mean, I left my job. I worked for the news for like 8-9 years mm-hmm. as a graphic designer. And it was fun. I learned a lot there, but there was at a certain point, I was just like, this is not where I need to be, you know, mm-hmm. and I had to leave. And,
yeah.
And I've been struggling since then, at least to find kind of my, you know, direction, I guess, or where I should be or whatever. But I think I'm getting there. I mean, I'm definitely
absolutely.
Like doing this. This is what feels right to me.
No, you know? I love that. Yeah, you're an excellent podcast host.
Hopefully this will be, you know, turn into that sure. kind of career or something.
Yeah, but that would be awesome. Yeah.
So, I think that's about it. So let me just make sure I don't have anything else. But, Rachel, thanks so much for coming.
This has been awesome.
Yeah, I guess you want to share where people can find you and your work or Red Dirt Poetry or...
Okay, take notes, people.
Yeah.
It's a long list. www.rachelwaters.co.
Uh-huh.
That's also my photography Instagram handle is rachelwaters.co. Red Dirt Poetry is Red Dirt Poetry, REDDIRTPOETRY with an at sign.
Yeah.
We're building a website right now for that as well.
Cool.
So we will have an official web presence too. Instead of a
just
cutie little
Instagram
weebly thing.
Or whatever.
Yeah. We're also on Facebook too, but Instagram and Facebook for Red Dirt are definitely our main. We have a Discord option as well. We do communicate a lot on Discord.
Yeah.
And then I have an unofficial poetry Instagram for myself I literally only post in my stories right now. I have 0 posts on
actual
it, but that's Rachel Waters Writes if you want to
I do a lot of some research going into, I didn't see that because I was curious if you had posted any poetry anywhere. I think I saw one poem on your Rachel Waters CO website.
The only people who get to read, get to hear me right now are those Red Dirties.
If you come out to the poetry readings, you'll get
it'll
to
be
see
worth
it.
Your time, I promise. I am working on getting a better web presence for my own personal stuff.
Well, that's great. But I think that, I mean, it makes sense because, like you were saying earlier, about you don't necessarily maybe write your poetry for other people sometimes.
Right.
So
yeah. Absolutely. Some of it just stays with me. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. And everyone, follow Rachel, follow Red Dirt, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Bye.
Awesome.
Thank you. Oh, wow. Wait. It's weird now.
Yeah. Now it's like, wait, I'm back in the real world.
What is this? Holy shit. Yeah. Thank you so much. That was a delight.